Audrey, we're back.
Hello.
I say that not only because it's a new week and a new episode, but also because you and I literally recorded this before and Riverside did us dirty on that last recording. So we're just going to do a round two because we are committed to this topic. We believe it is so important. From the title, you know, this is all about reducing interview anxiety because we have had so many clients who have actually beautifully adhered to all of our other advice that we've shared in this series so far. They have really devoted themselves to preparation and practice. And then they're like, but I'm so terrified that I'm not going to remember, or I'm going to mess up, or totally blank, or stutter, or really be stumped on some of their questions. And so it's like, what if all that preparation is for nothing and I just choke? And that's where we have to come to these principles and practices that we're going to talk about today to help you calm down so you can trust that one, the Lord is with you, two, you can remember how to describe your experience. Don't worry, it's all in there. It's your life. You know how to talk about it. These aren't just like made up test answers. Literally, you can talk about your past work history. And then you can also feel embodied, present, confident, really have that kind of like executive presence in the interview because you're not shaking in your boots. Of course, you might sometimes, and that's all right too, but hopefully the points that we have to share today will be helpful to you. Audrey, anything before we get in? Because I know that you've probably seen this with clients recently. Even we were talking with one that she's like, oh no, what if I forget everything?
Yeah. I mean, an important thing to note is that you can do all the preparation in the world, but if you don't also think about the things that we're going to talk about in this episode to reduce anxiety, it's going to be it's going to be more painful of an experience than it needs to be. So do your preparation, but also understand where your anxiety is coming from so you can understand how to work through it with these different methods that we're going to share.
Beautifully said. So the methods we're going to share is visualization, prayer, a unique one around using ice in a strategic way and stick around for that. And then also some methods that have greatly reduced, I have a lot of personal experience with anxiety and worry and performance fear, and acceptance and commitment and exposure and response planning have all been techniques that have helped me greatly. I'll try to explain some of those in layman's terms, although of course seeking professional help is greatly useful as well. But those are all things that I've collected over the years alongside Audrey that we really think are going to help. The first one is I'm going to talk about visualization, but not in the way you think. I hate it when it's just like, visualize yourself doing well. And then I'm like, okay, gotcha. But then intrusive thought enters my visioning exercise. And I'm like, oh no, I see that the interviewer's face is angry or thought my answer was stupid. And it could be easy for that to kind of fall apart. So what I have seen instead in using visualization for incredible good in my career is actually including and preparing for all the things that you're worried will go wrong and going ahead and including that in your vision, but actually seeing yourself or imagining yourself responding to those triggers in the way that you would hope. So it's like marrying the worst case and the best case all in one. Let me give you an example. When I had all the reasons in the world to have the most performance anxiety I've ever had, I was preparing to give my TEDx talk last year. I was like, okay, so I'm supposed to share my like one big idea and I'm probably only going to get this chance once in my career. And oh my gosh, it happened a little earlier than I thought. Wait, what am I going to say? What if I go out there And I go over the very specific 18-minute time limit. What if I'm the first talk of the day? I already knew that in the schedule. What if people are coming in and out of the theater loudly, or the light from the hall like swings open and it's really distracting? What if people are coming in late? What if my mic cuts out? What if, most of all, I forget? Because this is probably the most memorization in my career that I've had to use. Luckily, in your interview preparation, you won't have to utilize memorization all that much. You're just reviewing your past experience and speaking to it skillfully, but also extemporaneously. And the difference with this is that I literally did have to memorize exactly what I was going to say in 17 and a half minutes and hit all my points and the jokes with proper body language. So if I'm sure that you're with me and thinking, okay, the stakes were pretty high. So what did you do? How did you overcome all the anxiety that could have come along with that? It was, instead of just, I was looking at YouTube videos for how to memorize things. And by the way, I want to say one more thing on memorization. If you use our tip from, what was that episode, Audrey? It was like the single
most important area to it.
Yeah, if you go back, I think it was like 162 or something like that, or
160,
maybe
160, I think.
160, yeah. Where we share how to create like a response matrix to pair what they're likely going to ask with examples of your experience in the STAR format or our SAR format. You can actually print that out and you can literally take it with you in the interview, and we describe some ways to make that socially appropriate and acceptable. Mm-hmm. So, all to say, if you're freaked out about just totally blanking, here's what I did. Instead of just envisioning it all going well and me like confidently, like in my outfit, like in, I looked up the theater. This was an important thing. As best as possible, go ahead and try to, confidently nail down what the setting is going to be. So if you're doing it over Zoom, no problem. The setting is you're looking at your computer and, you know, people on the screen. But if you're going into an office, maybe go ahead and imagine and get comfortable with multiple environments. Go ahead and imagine yourself in a glass fishbowl office, or a no windows office, or a small room, or a big room, whatever it is. Like, you could try to look up pictures of where you're going for the interview. This actually does help prime your mind for success, because it's like, oh, my subconscious mind has already been in a room like this, or it's already been here. It's okay. I could continue playing the track that I already prepared, which is interview success. If you're worried about blanking, why don't you already go ahead and envision the interview going well, you're in a strong, confident, but natural posture, you're responding, you're natural, like sometimes you're laughing, sometimes you're very serious and professional, you're however you want to be, envision yourself being that way, and then get to a point in the interview in your mind where they ask a question where you're like, I have no freaking idea what to say here. And why don't you go ahead and actually write out, this is where it's no longer a vision exercise, it's an actual writing things out exercise. Write out all of the ways that you would think someone might respond to, I don't know what to say here. Audrey, like, I'm sure you could imagine some ways, like, just one of them could be like, yeah, just, yeah, thanks for that question. I'm going to think on that for a minute. Or, yeah, one moment. Or you could go ahead and envision yourself saying something like that, and then go ahead and have acceptance around the fact that so many people in an interview have at least one question where they're like, I talked out of my butt for that one. I don't know what that answer was. I think that I gave, you know, an example. I don't think it was the best one. And then go ahead and practice acceptance ahead of the interview, imagining that everybody comes out of an interview thinking, ah, dang, I should have said that for, you know, that particular question, and that that's just okay. And so then I would finalize the visioning exercise with imagining them responding in a way that's like neutral, but you move on. So try to make the vision about yourself, handling that confidently, and then walking out, shaking hands and feeling good. All of these things help you just go ahead and include natural hiccups while hoping for the best, but preparing for, you know, what you might be thinking is the worst. This is something that naturally reduces anxiety because it is friendly with the concept of exposure and response planning as a therapy technique, which I'll describe this very probably not perfectly, but hopefully in a helpful way, is something where it reduces anxiety by increasing your distress and distress tolerance by, instead of just trying to avoid all the things you fear, you go ahead and say, yep, totally, might happen. Yep, I'll just have to handle it as best as I can with whatever thoughts I have at the time, whatever those are. Literally, you have to say stupid things like that to yourself out loud in written just to practice, yeah, totally, might happen, and I might also live. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Audrey? I may have been going on this rant for a while, but I'm pretty passionate about going ahead and accepting and preparing for the worst while hoping the best.
Yeah. No, it's two things to add. One is a story. The other is an element of exposure therapy, if you will. I guess I'll start with that. I'm going to say two words that's going to make everybody cringe who's listening to this. And those two words are mock interviews, which
yeah, let's go.
We all hate. We all have avoided, I'm sure. Maybe that's not how you feel, but that's how I know I've felt in the past and how people I know have felt as well. But coming from my sales background, we used to have to do role plays all the time and mock sales calls. And they were the worst at first, and then we very quickly got over how awkward it was and realized it's actually not that awkward, and it's actually really, really helpful. So it is two things at once as well. If you're doing the mock interview, you're getting really good practice to work through these visualizations and to actually have them in front of you if you have a friend who will do it with you or whatever it is. And then also doing some of that exposure therapy and putting yourself in a scenario to realize, oh, it's really not that big of a deal. And so a mock interview is incredibly helpful, and just get it out of the way. After you do a couple with yourself, with somebody else, talking out loud and actually having that conversation will get a lot easier. And then a funny story about visualization, actually. If you want something else to throw into your toolkit of what you can visualize for your upcoming interviews, I actually was in an interview once where there was literally a Civil War reenactment going on outside the window. So there were cannons going off, and never would have ever thought that that would be a possibility. The interview was horrible for many reasons, but the cannons did not help with rocking my confidence and my concentration. So if you want to think about distraction in terms of things going on outside the office, whether it's cannons, whether it's a fire alarm, whatever it is, just know that that is a possibility that I never knew it was possible.
I love that story. It's almost like it reminds me of this video I watched in Psych 101 class in college, where it's like, look, count how many times it's something like a basketball team, count how many times the ball passed hands. And then at the end of the interview, the teacher's like, did you see
the gorilla?
The person in the gorilla costume walking through the middle? And I was like, am I an idiot? Because then you watch it again and you're like, oh my gosh. But I'm like, what if somebody in a gorilla suit just came into the office? And you could, with any of these, whether it's a gorilla or a Civil War reenactment, why don't you go ahead and prepare some kind of response that's kind of funny? Like, well, yep, that just happened, and just move on. Or like, sorry, I glitched, I'm back, you know, whatever is in line with your personality. I tend to kind of lean into humor a bit. But you could just go ahead and prepare whatever your response would be and move on. And so the next thing that I wanted to talk about was with after visualizing, which is so important and helpful, which, by the way, to wrap up that story, the talk went from my performance side, it went exactly as I hoped. I did remember everything. I felt like that was one of my best runs ever. But from the external side, almost everything went wrong. And so I am so grateful that I prepared for that because one, people did come in late. And two, there was more lights on the audience than I actually expected. So I could like see some people looking amused and some people looking bored and some people eating a snack. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a lot of stimulus. And then also my mic did cut out at points. And I had to keep on going without second guessing or stopping and a lot of other stuff. But it ended up okay. So I'm really grateful for that. And then, so after visualization, let's talk about prayer. This is something that obviously we care about, and we're assuming you do too, since we're a Christian career coaching practice. But I want to speak specifically about that, maybe even calling out something that I see a lot. A lot of, we pray with our clients on many of our individual sessions and also in a consistent way on our twice weekly calls that are only devoted to praying for people's careers. And so with that, I have actually listened, this is funny, but I've listened to the way people pray for years, like hundreds of people. And you may notice as well, since I'm sure you've heard plenty of people pray, a lot of folks ask God, like, let your will be done. And I'm like, awesome. Obviously. Love that. But his will is something that he does no matter what, because he's God. And so you could ask that as a point of surrender. But also, why don't you go ahead and specifically ask him for something that's like helpful to you? Like, Audrey, maybe you'll have to smooth over my response because I feel like I give the hot take and you're the closer. So it's why I'm so grateful to have you as a partner. But I think that what I mean by why don't you ask him for something that's specifically helpful to you is, for example, asking the Holy Spirit to speak for you. Of course, you may already be asking him to help you with your recall and your confidence and your nerves and to give you peace. But one of my favorite things to that I've seen a lot of fruit from by the grace of God in my life is I was inspired to pray for the Holy Spirit to speak for me from the passages of Exodus chapters 3 and 4 and Matthew chapter 10. Exodus 3 and 4 being the amazing chapters in the Bible where God is speaking to Moses at the burning bush, and he's commissioning him to go to Pharaoh and ask him slash command him to let his people go. And we can all understand that that's probably way more stressful than any interview, any TEDx talk or whatever in our little modern lives. That's a pretty big deal. So obviously he's nervous, and you may be familiar with the back and forth there. I highly recommend that no matter how many times you've been exposed to that passage, to go back and read it today. It moves me every time, especially the part at the end where God hears Moses out of him saying, I'm not eloquent. I'm not your guide to go out and speak and lead this thing. And God says, who is it that gives human beings their mouths? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will teach you what to say. And every time that I listen to that or read it and see it on the page, it moves me so much that no matter what you are called to and what is on your plate today, who is it that gives human beings their mouths? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will teach you what to say. And then with Matthew chapter 10, this is another one that moves me so much. Jesus himself is commissioning his apostles to go out and share the good news, going two by two, And he's preparing them for the fact that it's going to be awful. It's going to be hard. They will be brought in front of councils and tried and thrown in jail. And Jesus is saying, do not worry about what you will say when you are brought into court. For the Holy Spirit will give you the words you need in the very hour that you need them. Now go. And of course, Jesus is, you may be thinking, Kelsey, you're extrapolating this a little far, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus is talking about sharing the gospel, and God is about talking to Moses about freeing his people. I'm going into an interview in the oil and gas industry. Little old me over here. And I get it. But let me give you my case for why I think God actually cares to apply these passages to your life, whether you're having a difficult conversation, setting boundaries, breaking up, going into an interview, whatever it is. Here's why I believe the Lord will speak for you, especially in a career context, is that once you receive and accept your primary calling, which is to have a saving faith in Jesus Christ and a close communion, a healed communion, therefore, with God Almighty, and to enjoy life with Him forever and ever, then you get to go back to the very first calling any of us received, which is in Genesis chapter 1, where God says to Adam, He says, rule and subdue the earth. Or wait, what is it, Audrey? I always mix up the exact.
Subdue and fill
the earth, roll over it, basically. Mm-hmm. And then we see that God did not intend for Adam to just be a gardener. He actually wanted Adam and all his descendants to be a part of making Eden into the new Jerusalem that we see in Revelation. When God does not destroy the earth and throw it all away, He comes back to redeem it, and the work of it includes the work of our hands, which is amazing. God cleans all of that up, takes everything that is redeemable, and He makes it into an eternal city that isn't up there, it's down here. And this is why God's vision for earth isn't just ethereal. He says, you are advancing my kingdom by being an agent for others' good. He refers to government workers that way, by the way, in Romans chapter 14, which is amazing. Agents God appointed for your good. And also, government workers can be waste management, tax collection. A little bit more charged back in biblical times, and all sorts of things like administration. And it doesn't just have to be in the private sector, it could be public sector. So this is, God cares that you are showing up to steward your career well and walk into interviews to apply yourself to increasingly use your talents in more fruitful ways with more oversight. To whom much is given, much is expected. You go out there, you show up, and you say, I am here to be a city on a hill, a lamp that cannot be hidden, someone who is here to be an agent for God's good. Here's who I am. Do you need any help? I'm offering myself of service. I firmly believe God wants to have something to do with that. Not only does He want to, He already does, because He created work for the joy of it and our good. And so He cares to help you in your work. I firmly believe He cares to allow the Holy Spirit to speak for you when you're in interviews. Whether you walk out thinking that went really awesome or that went really dicey, trust that He did regardless. I've had interviews in the past where I thought I totally bombed it, but I won't even go into all the stories as that are my personal solid proof that God really does work all things to our good, whatever it looks like in the moment. Audrey, I took it away again. Do you have any thoughts to round out that point about prayer and how that can help us?
No, I think you nailed it.
I hope so. I went a little long.
All I have to say is amen. And amen. Read The Sacredness of Secular Work by Jordan Rayner.
Which is pretty much what I'm quoting all the time.
Seriously. It's so good, though. It's so good. And it's, I don't know. It's interesting to dive more into how I'm looking at my Bible. I like have it right here. And how this, it just provides all the instruction for everything that we're going through, but we like to put it in a box and say, oh no, I can't apply that to this worldly thing that's happening. That's not true. When have you ever learned that? When has that ever been something that has been true in your life, that the Bible does not apply to this circumstance?
Also, I just have so many thoughts about career and life things getting recklessly thrown in the that's worldly basket. What do you mean? God created the heavens and the earth, and he was the one that initiated and is our prime example, the King of Kings that rules and fills the earth. He's all about the world. He created it. He put you on it. He asked you to steward it well. He asked you to rule it and subdue it. That includes the way that you handle, the way you dress, and the way you work, and the way you relate, and eat, and clean. He's in everything. So, yeah, God cares about your career, okay? This is what I'm trying to say. This is why I started the Called Career, because he cares. And, quote, missionaries or full-time ministers do not have a corner on God's ministry. We are all a part of ministry. Sorry, you're like, Audrey, oh my gosh, I get it. Sorry, I'm getting so fired up.
It's good.
But let's go out to the last point, which I kind of mentioned uniquely is about using ice.
Yes.
So in terms of a very powerful anxiety reducing technique, if you feel like you're just kind of in a tailspin and you're like, listen, my interview's at 3 o'clock this afternoon and I really just need to have a chill pill, and I'm trying to visualize, I'm praying, I still feel a little freaked out, you might be hugely benefited by a pattern interrupt, which is getting your brain to shut up by using a physical trigger. So if you haven't already, if you're a lady and you haven't already done your makeup for the day, I really encourage you to just go ahead and try this out so you could see how it works for you as a technique, because you may really enjoy using this a lot. If you're having a tremendous amount of anxiety, why don't you go ahead and put some ice and water in a bowl and just like lightly dunk your face in it for a while. This will trigger your diver instinct, which brings on feelings of euphoria, peace, stillness, happiness even. And it could just give, it could force your brain out of the spiral and into, okay, I'm just here. I could do this. And then you might want to apply the other techniques of prayer and visualization. But sometimes your brain will just not accept those techniques if, you know, you're all caught up in a tizzy. So maybe start with either dunking your face in water, or if you are, if you don't want to do that, it actually is really helpful to hold ice cubes in your hand just for like, you know, it could be a few seconds, as long as you could handle it. I have, and then you could take your cold hands and just put it on your neck. Like if you're on video, you could see I'm just kind of putting my hands on my neck. And all of those are techniques that can tell your body to calm down. And I've really, really appreciated knowing about those, because I used to always think that if I am having a problem with my mind, like if my fears are in my mind, maybe I should use my mind to fix it. But usually it's more helpful to have an external tool to heal the problem, so you're not just all caught up. I hope that makes sense. It may not make sense until you try it, but I hope you do give it a chance. You can also, if you need to be feel grounded throughout the interview and you're doing it over Zoom, I have done this before where I'll just have an ice pack in my lap. And of course I have like pants or a skirt on, so it's not like terribly cold because there's some layers between me and the ice pack, but it can be something that I could rest my hands on from time to time. And that has also proven helpful to me. So those three things I pray are helpful to you. And overall, if you do all of the things that we've suggested throughout this series, you should gather more lived experience and proof to give your mind that you are actually really good at interviews. So therefore, you'll actually have to use less and less of these interventions. Maybe don't skip out on prayer over time, because you'll positively associate to the opportunity to interview. You won't be freaked out and you'll actually be excited. That does take some time, but for these first couple of hard ones, use all of these things that we have suggested throughout the series and know that you are actually not just benefiting yourself for this given interview, because whether or not you get the job, you know, that's kind of a separate matter. This is actually an opportunity to make you more and more into the kind of person that God created you to be. Every day is an opportunity for that. And I think interviews are a special test that maybe are an extra opportunity. So thank you so much for joining us for this series so far. Audrey, do we have any other episodes in the interview series?
Yes, we do. What questions you should ask as the interviewee. Oh, so it's going to be fun.
I am excited for that one. That one I'm also very passionate about, which, you know, I tend to only do things that I have a lot of passion for.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost like you're passionate about it all.
It all. Definitely not all things in life, but all things career usually get me pretty fired up. So
yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. To get an even more meaningful head start into your calling, head to thecalledcareer.com, where my fellow career coach Audrey and I have created a whole suite of free resources and tools to help you get clear and get a job today. For those who are definitely ready to land a job or start a business in the next 6 to 12 months, we are here to help you biblically and practically discern your calling through coaching, reflection, and deep market research, identify the job that's aligned with it, even if you currently have no idea what you want, rebrand your resume and LinkedIn to translate your background to appeal to your future boss. P.S. We take this off your plate and do this for you. Also, we'll teach you how to land referrals and get attention from leadership through networking. Again, if that makes you nervous, we have these emails and LinkedIn messages literally written for you, so you don't have to sweat. We're also here to give you unlimited interview practice, so you're prepared to address every elephant in the room and knock selling yourself out of the park. Then we'll round out with helping you negotiate your salary so you land thousands more. Just so you know, recent clients have gotten $8,000 to $50,000 salary increases, even though they were totally non-traditional candidates. That's because we specialize in helping non-traditional career pivoters land jobs they're ecstatic to serve in. It takes work, but we're here to see you through until the end, when we're celebrating that day that you send me an email in all caps and you say, "Kelsey, I got the job." Then you could be on the podcast. But I'll be here until then, keeping you accountable and encouraged by meeting with you literally until you land the job you want, even if that's up to 6 months from now within our program. Apply to join at thecalledcareer.com, and I'll see you next week here at Answer the Call. Bye for now.